Happy Mother's Day to all of you, except for you men. You know, I thought that was a great line that she said, my greatest accomplishment is I have raised a great man. And that's mom's blessings to us. In today's paper, if you didn't read it, this is official, these cartoon characters of mom. And they did a poll throughout the city of San Diego, the county, and they talked to people of how their moms affected them. So I'll go from the lowest end to the highest percentage of common response from the people in San Diego. 2% of the people interviewed said that their mom dresses young, she's up on pop culture, she's more of a peer than a parent, and a lax disciplinarian. She's called cool mom. Overbearing mom, 18% said that was their mom. She's in your face with comments and critiques, nosy and overprotective. Hippie mom, 2% of San Diegans have a hippie mom. She's laid back, Birkenstock wearing free spirit who shops at Henry's only. Well, that's what they described. Okay, 20% were moody mom and runs hot and cold, never know how she'll be on any given day. And then there's tiger mom. 8% of San Diegans say they had tiger mom. Strict, demanding, not abusive, but you don't dare cross her. And then there's athletic mom. 1% of the city said their mom was athletic mom. She's in great shape, always in her workout clothes, and they know her by name at the Y. And then 41% of San Diegans said, and I know you're all here this morning, 41% said sweet mom. She's kind, loving, supportive, never complains, self-sacrificing, and she even eats the burnt piece of toast. That's the sweet mom. So that's what's going on in our city. Yeah, and I think you're probably all in the 41%, but you eat the In-N-Out burger that's left over, probably. You get left for that. We're going to look at Psalm 127 to encourage your moms, and we'll let you be out of here in time for whatever it is you need time. It is interesting that Mother's Day is important in our country. It's a great day. Every day should be Mother's Day. Philip was sharing in the last service how that one day they went, his kids, my grandchildren went to bless their mom, that Bethany was in bed and they had made a something with a lot of, I think it was a turkey sandwich for her, filled dripping with ranch salad dressing. So he was kind of interested to see what they got. But there was a boy that wanted to bless his mom, and he knew that she never got to sleep in, and he was 8 years old and said, Mom, you sleep in the morning. I'm going to bring you some breakfast. So he brought her a piece of toast with butter and jam spread on it, and he brought her a cup of coffee, which he knew she loved, and a little vase with a rose in it. So he comes into her room, says, Happy Mother's Day, Mom. She says, oh, thank you, honey, and puts it down, and she bites into the toast, and then she starts to drink the coffee, and she goes, ooh, what's this? And she reaches into the cup, and she pulls out a little plastic green army soldier and said, how did this get in here? She said, well, I heard on television things go better with soldiers in your cup. All right, okay, soldiers. All right, I'm going to read the first, the third, and the fifth verse. I'd like all of you together to sing in unison. Would you sing in unison, please? Would you read verse 2 and 4? I'll read 1, 3, and 5. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes but in vain. And children can steal your sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gates. Now, that's a very short psalm, but it should encourage every mother. The Lord builds the house. You can apply that to business. You can apply that to running the city, being the chief of police, having a boutique shop somewhere, but especially your own home. Unless the Lord builds it, the labor is laboring in vain. You're doing it all on your own with your own wisdom, your own understanding, and that's all limited. But when God's building with you, it's going to be eternal. The rewards are eternal. And if you're the city watchman or city policeman and you're watching the city at night, we're all in big trouble if the Lord isn't watching the city of San Diego. Now, I know there are tens of thousands of people that pray for the city of San Diego. When I first came here, I don't know how many were praying, but I know from all the churches that have gone out of here and all of you that we pray for the city of San Diego and for the mayor and the city council, and we're, Lord, bless the city. So unless the Lord watches the city, all that we do to protect it is bad. It's not going to work out. We're limited. But God's not limited. So when you apply that to being a mom and working with your children, that you surrender them to him and let him raise them and you're his custodian, the issues are not on your shoulders. They're back on him. And that's what David is saying. He had a lot of kids. So it's vain for you to rise up early, sit up late to eat the bread of sorrows. But how often we all have done that as parents, but especially the mom, because it seems like they have to do all that getting up early. Someone once said the hand that rocks the cradle usually is attached to someone who isn't getting enough sleep. It's not only them, but it's who they're rocking that cradle. So there is no calendar that says, I go to sleep at this time when you have a young baby that's going to wake up at all times. Now, the Lord goes on through David to encourage us. Children, he says in verse 3, are a heritage of the Lord. And for years, some would say, well, they're my heritage. But in reality, that's not exactly what he is saying. Because in the Hebrew text, there is a word here for the heritage of the Lord, meaning they belong to him, the word that was chosen. They're his heritage. So therefore, we as mothers and fathers become custodians. And we have the responsibility of raising these children up. Now, August is the most popular month to give birth. How many of you gave birth in August or you were born in August? Not bad, about a third of you. And Tuesday is the most common day to give birth in August. How many of you were born on a Tuesday? None of you. See, you're all abnormal. It's just, you're just a strange crowd. All right, you win the prize. Oh, I forgot to tell you, for all of you that are mothers, we figured out where you're going to sit, and we just wanted to show our appreciation from the rest of the church. There's an envelope with $10,000 taped underneath each seat. If you're a mother, you can reach down. And if you're a guy and you reach down, we're escorting you out. Probably the envelope is either Confederate money or it's an IOU. But what do we say other than Happy Mother's Day as a son, as a daughter? How could we say words that would please you as a woman? And as you get older, your sons and daughters realize you're a woman and that you're not just mom anymore. They grow up and they see your sacrifice and they are so blessed. There are 10 steps of motherhood. Starts around the age 4 when every child says to you, Mom, about you, my mommy can do anything. A 4-year-old sees you that way. An 8-year-old says, my mom knows a lot, a whole lot. Gets about 12 and the kid, boy or girl, says, my mother doesn't really know quite everything. And then 2 years difference in the hormones and you're 14, the kid says, naturally, mother doesn't know that either. At 18, that old woman, she's way out of date. She's old style. 25, well, she might know a little about it. At 35, well, before we decide, let's get mom's opinion on this. At 45, I wonder what mom would have thought about it. At 65, wish I could talk it over with mom. And there are these stages, and those may not be totally accurate, but you get the point. So raising children is a difficult job because you have an individual that has all the negatives that you had growing up in you, but as a godly mother, you could put the positives of heaven into that child, and that child will have a blessed life. In the majority of all the world's languages around the world, the nations that have different languages, they have found that in the majority of those languages, the word for mother begins with the letter M. That means nothing. I just thought I'd say it. A woman's odds of delivering twins. How many ladies here have delivered twins? Anybody? One? Anybody else? Just one. You win the second prize. Oh, two. Three. There's three. Four. Do we hear five? Can we get five? Oh, you're over here. All right. Great. Oh, great. Congratulations. Do you know the odds of you delivering twins is 1 in 33? Now, has anybody done triplets or quadruplets or quintuplets? Or are you the lady on TV that all those kids? Nobody? The odds of a woman bearing more than three or more is 1 to 539. Great odds for that. And we have found that Mother's Day accounts for 20% of all floral arrangements and flowers that are purchased for the holidays. Christmas, Easter, birthdays, Secretary Day, 20% of all sales accounted for on Mother's Day. Now, what do people buy? Did anybody buy a mum or a daisy for your mum? A mum for a mum? Well, I'm very happy you didn't, because only 1% of the people give that flower for their mom. Anybody buy a lily? Did you buy lilies? Okay, you're in the 1%. They buy lilies. Orchids. Anybody buy orchids for mom? That's 2% of the population. Where? You bought an orchid? Okay, you did. I saw them back there. Beautiful. I saw those at Costco on sale. Those are beautiful. 10% by carnations on Mother's Day, 33% by roses, and 42% by mixed bouquets. How many of you received or sent to mom or as mom a mixed bouquet? Yeah, see, you're in the 42%. So now we know you're getting more normal as I go along. All mothers know this. Every mother in this room knows it. And I think Dennis Devlin knows it because he worked for Campbell's. But there are exactly 216 noodles in a can of Campbell's chicken noodle soup. Every mom knows that. Did you know that? Okay. On to the next one here. Moms, we love you. Mothers are tops in God's heart. In God's heart, mothers are, they're up there at the top. And being a mother is a concept that he created. First, he saw that it was not good for man to be alone, and that he needed a friend and somebody to love him and him to love, and he created the woman out of him. We all know that story. But did you know, after there was light, and he said it is good, day and night, and he saw the seasons, and that was good, and he saw the fish and all the great fish of the sea, that was good. He saw the animals, that was good. Everything he created was, that was good. And then he creates man and makes him in his image and likeness and breathes into his nostrils the breath of life. He made this little man out of clay, and he stood up and he became alive, and he had an ability with a brain and a heart and a spirit that covered him. We didn't look like this in the Garden of Eden. This is what death looks like. And this thing that we have called the body dies. And he could talk back and forth and have his own free will to discuss situations with God. There was no problem. And then he said, you know, you need to help me. And that's when he brought the woman. Turn with me, please, to the book of Genesis. Because the woman was one of the creations that God made and felt was very, very important to bring to the planet. I'd like you just to take a second here and look at the 17th verse of the third chapter of the creation here. Chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 17. And unto Adam he hearkened unto the voice, you listen to your wife, you've eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. So from this day forward the ground is cursed. So weeds started growing. You in sorrow, you'll eat of it all the days of your life. You're going to have to work now. Thorns and thistles shall bring it forth, and you shall begin eating the herbs of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. So that's where we go. We go, we're buried in the ground. There is no ashes to ashes and dust, that's somebody made that up. For dust you are, and dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now in the book of Acts it says that all flesh goes back to one blood. Through all the centuries that man has been on the planet, and biblical scholars and people that see all the chapters and put them together in their mind, they're very bright. We've been here about 6,000 years, the human race. Something was probably here before us because he says subdue, multiply, and replenish the earth. So they had to subdue the earth, and that may be what we hear about cavemen or something, but this creature was made by God. So the woman is called the mother of all living. So if all flesh goes to one, we go back to Adam, we go back to our earthly mother, Eve. Now, the world just celebrated a day called Earth Day. And I was on a college campus, I was going to school, the first day of the Earth Day. And Earth Day was a concept that was set up from the outside of where did it come from? And it was a little bit of communist involvement on the campuses, and I saw how they promoted it the first day on the college campus I was on. I said, this is really bogus. But the book of Romans says that in the last days, people will worship the creation more than the creator. And look at all the things that are about earth and the clean air and the green and solar and whatever, cosmic smoke out of your exhaust pipe. It's all about worshiping Mother Earth, but that's not true. The earth isn't a mother. God put the power in all the seeds to grow. That's his power. Eve is the mother of all living. Adam called her Eve because he saw that as a woman, she's got a place in God's creation. God showed him the universe, showed him the light and the darkness, showed him everything, how it worked. You plant this seed, it's a watermelon, it comes out a watermelon. This one's a peach, that one's an apricot, this is a banana tree. These seeds, and this is how it'll be. The human race will have a woman, have a man. They'll have sex together to show their love for one another and great pleasure in that. And then when that seed is planted, she will bear just like everything else. She's the mother of all living. What an honor for a woman to be looked like at that. But what has the world made it? Pornography. People trying to vicariously live through a screen on a 21-inch screen on their computer desk. Amazing. Movies. Woman's nothing. She's just to either be beat up, thrown around, cast out, or to walk around with barely any clothes on and show her body off. There's nothing that builds up women. So the liberal women started the women's movement because they're angry, and the houses started splitting, and homes started splitting in the early 70s because it came through the 60s. And the revolution kept going, that the family started getting split, and then there was ratings. Do you know there were no ratings for movies before? There weren't. There was never an F word in a movie. You never, ever in America heard anything degrading in public. The government protected you and your children. You go to a movie and you have to have your guard up, and you saw the pollution of the minds of the writers and the producers and the directors. And all the way along, the woman is getting lost and given an image way beyond what God gave her. She is the mother of all living, and she will be respected. The mother of any household is to be respected. The husband is to be the head of that wife, as Christ is the head of the church. And there was order. So the enemies of women split her away from her family, put her out into the workplace, and look what has happened to our children in the last few years. Not few, ever since the 60s grew up. And now that radical element that was back there when I was 21, 22, 25, When I was in that midst of all that, they now have captured, the same people have captured the White House. So women, don't believe the image that you have to dress like the people on television or in movies to be accepted. The Bible says that the ornament of a quiet and a meek spirit of a woman is worth great price to God. To God. If God looks at a woman who is humble and meek, the word ornament is used like a beautiful diamond. Elizabeth Taylor died recently, and I remember when Richard Burton gave her that diamond. It was millions of dollars. Nobody had ever bought a diamond that size and given it to show his love. And that's what that word means. It's an ornament. It's something so valuable, only God could see a woman like that. And you young women that are here, if men just are after your body and you say, okay, I'm getting attention, don't do that anymore. You're precious in God's sight. You're special in God's sight. There is no greater honor. Imagine to be the woman in that video clip lying on your deathbed, and your last statement is, I accomplished a great thing that I raised up a beautiful son or daughter. Boy, what greater reward could it be? Oh, I got bonuses once a year? No, being a mother is something that God loves very much. Children are a blessing, and how much more is the mother of the child to God. So mothers, you're number one in God's eyes. You're mentioned in the very beginning. You are important. God pronounced the blessing upon Abraham's wife. He changed her name from Sarai to Sarah. And in Genesis chapter 17, if you want to move forward, that's fine. Verse 16, God said this about this woman. Genesis 17, 16. He's blessed Abraham, and thank God we have a Bible and read it, because nowhere in the Bible does he make the woman a lesser being than the man. He takes the blessing and gives the eternal blessing to Abraham to be a very important person in history. Then he turns around. Now, concerning your wife, I will no longer call her Sarai. I will call her Sarah. And he says, I will bless her, and I will give you a son also of her. What an honor. I will give, God says, to this man through her. She's very important in the covenant blessing of God in Israel and all the human race. The woman isn't a lesser simply because God has said he's to be the head of the household. She's extremely important. And I will give you a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of the people shall be of her. Do you see how he elevated the wife? What a dual role to be the wife and the mother. And that kings would come through her womb, and she could not look this far into the future. But if we went all the way back and saw our sister Sarah, and then the blessings that came from her, you would look in her genealogy through the Old Testament, and you see that this one woman was a mother extraordinaire that just humbly took the blessings of God, living in tents out in the desert and being married to a nomad. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Two times we read in the Bible that Abraham went into a different neighborhood and met the kings, and he told her to lie because she was so beautiful that they would kill him to take her. When she was 80 years old, he's telling her to lie. At 80, she is so beautiful. And he says, just say you're my sister. And then in the middle of the night, as she is taken into a harem, God speaks and strikes fear into the heart of the king. And technically, she was a sister. They had mothers and fathers that were related. And so she was a half-sister, and they did marry. She was a gorgeous woman, but she accepted the fact that God had control over her. And the king went and said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? You said she was your sister. Well, you see, I'm a second cousin to the third cousin of the brother whose father is related. You know, she's technically my sister. And he says, get out of here, because God spoke to me. And he gave him half a ton of gold, gave him donkeys, camels, and cattle, and sheep, and made him a multimillionaire just to get out of town. He did this a couple times, by the way, and she was so beautiful, she made him a rich man. And yes, she was the mother of the kings of the earth. There is an old Spanish proverb, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. More can happen in the home than it can in front of the minister. So secondly, motherhood should be a joy, and it should be a joyous experience. We all know there are late nights, Mom. We know there are long days, but we always have to go back to Psalm 127:3, children are heritage of the Lord. And what an honor, just like angel Gabriel coming to Mary and say, thou that are highly favored, at this time next year you shall bear forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. She said, how can that be? I've never known a man. And he said, the Most High shall overshadow you, and that which is birthed in you shall be holy. What an honor that God looks at women, that what is birthed in them is holy. Children are a heritage of the Lord. Now I started looking, and I found out that the word mother is found 249 times throughout the 66 books of the Bible. That's quite a few. Some subject matters are not found that many times. Then I looked up the plural, and I found that mother's plural was mentioned in some story or some proverb. Was found 8 times. So 256 times God chooses this mother, this word, so special that the entire Bible would be filled with it. From the very beginning, honor would be given. And it was mother all the way through the Bible, like a fine thread being woven from Genesis to Revelation. God wants women to know that they are honored as a mother. And as a mother, it is one of the toughest jobs and assignments to fulfill. My mother had a very rough life. As I grew older, I saw her, how rough life was for her. And yet she sacrificed. And as a single mom making 50 bucks a week, I don't know how we made ends meet. But I do know that she wanted her boys to know that she loved them. And when my oldest brother was killed, it was the day the earth stood still. The scream that came out of that woman's heart, I can still hear it in my mind, and I can see her sitting on that couch as she's being told. I look back and say, it must have devastated her more than I ever knew. I just took that I was devastated. My other brother was devastated. But to lose your firstborn and to have an unhappy life because you had so many bad things happen in your life, how sad. How very, very sad. And yet, she learned how to laugh and tell a joke. And we would always see, your rent's overdue, the lights are being shut off, your phone's turned off, and we would figure out, how are we going to do this? And Mom would just say something, and it would always be funny. We always learned how to face life. No matter how hard we got punched in the chops, we could make a joke out of it. We might punch back, but, you know, she was a special lady. So I always look at mothers and I say, how in the world can they handle this? And then I remember, God looks after women in a very special way. Maybe you're sitting here and you have had a bad marriage, or maybe there's some tension between you and an older son. But it's God's. Just back up. It's God's. Children are God's heritage. You're the custodian looking after them. In the book of 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6:2, it says, treat the elder women as mothers, the younger girls, women as sisters with all purity, meaning the women for a minister that are younger, I treat you like a sister, but I have to have purity of heart that I'm not lusting after you, or I'll lose my place to minister. And so the older women, I am to respect as a mother. Why would Paul the apostle tell young Timothy, the elder women in the church, you treat them as a mother? Because he had learned from God himself as being the man writing the letters to the young ministers that God highly values the woman that is a mother and thinks the most of them. Because ladies, you have seen things that the dads don't even see. Sometimes your children go to you instead of going to your dad. I look at Sandy now when our kids are growing and how she loves them and wants to get them something to eat or something to drink. And she serves them. And I keep thinking they should be serving her. They walk in our door, they're just like the kings of the earth. She just loves them and fixes them something, and they turn and they say, who's that old guy on the couch over there? He's not around much. Who is that guy? They grew up with me not being around much. But we all know that we love each other. And we think what God does for our family is amazing. And finally, the word, according to H.T. Armfield, the word children, in verse 3 there, children are a heritage of the Lord. It seems that in the Hebrew language, he said, to imply they are a heritage to the Lord, not a heritage given by the Lord. Otherwise, what he means is these are God's kids. You get to birth his kids. You get to train them in the ways of the Lord. And if you raise up a child in the fear of the Lord, even though he's older and departs, he shall return. And you don't need to stay up nights just worrying about it. You pray about it. You've done your best when they were little, and now they're growing up, and they're getting into trouble. You pray they're God's, because he will take care of them. Adam Clark said, he who gave them will feed them. This is to you mothers that are worrying, how are you going to pay the tuition to get them into a private school? How are you going to get the clothes? How are you going to get the food? Don't worry. It's God's responsibility. He who made them will feed them. And if a sparrow falls to the ground and dies, does not God take notice of it? And how much more valuable are you than a simple sparrow? God will take care of it. God will bless you. He'll always bless you. If you'll turn to Psalm 72, this is a daddy who loved the mother, and this is how he talked to God. This is a dad talking to God about his son. And when mothers talk to God about their little ones and their grown ones, like this picture from David, you have a relationship that God is not going to break, and he's going to bless you. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He's older. His son is going to be on the throne. He's asking God to bless this son, to love the people of Israel as he has loved them, and to bless. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. And he shall break in pieces the oppressor. I've taught all these things to my son to carry on, Lord. They shall fear you, everyone in the kingdom, as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. My son knows how to keep the people before you. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. And in his days shall righteousness flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endures. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea. You're going to expand his borders like you did me, Father. And from the river unto the ends of the earth, they that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him. His enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish over in Great Britain and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts from Africa. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him, Solomon. All nations shall serve him, for he shall deliver the needy when he cries out. The poor also, and him that has no helper. His heart is humble. He will serve these people, was he saying to God. He shall spare the poor and the needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence of the big, crooked business people. And in precious shall their blood be in his sight. Nobody's going to do something unrighteous and harm a street person. He shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually. And daily shall he be praised. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God of the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. You see, the mother has this power, the father has it, to talk to God about the child. And in your prayers with the child, you say, oh, he's just so stubborn, he's strong-willed, he's whatever. But how about turning around and says, this beautiful son, this gorgeous daughter, Lord, boy, can she sing like an angel. She can scream like one too. It build her up before the Lord so that your heart would show that you've got bitterness against the child. So mothers have great authority. They have great power, just like this prayer for Solomon. Your children are in God's hands. And you know, Jesus himself said that the angels are assigned to your children. And their angels behold the face of the Lord daily. Meaning they're in heaven, beholding his face, getting information about little Susie that's asleep until the moment she wakes up and guards her. You have angels. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, lest you entertain an angel unaware. Angels. They're around us. They're talking to us. John Howard Hinton's daughter wrote in her book, she said to her father as she knelt down next to his deathbed, there's no greater blessing than for children to have godly mothers and fathers. And he, the dying father, said, quote, and the next best thing, with a gleam in his eye, is for parents to have godly children. It is such a blessing in my heart to see what God has done. That I'm a parent. It's hard to believe. I think I'm a kid. And yet I see these people that are in my family. And I saw one of my daughters on television recently in Arizona. And I sat there the whole time saying, she is so beautiful. That's my daughter. She's beautiful. Man, she's amazing. Listen to her talk. And I was just looking at her beauty, and I just saw that little girl that I have a picture of from 5 years old wearing bib overalls with a pinkish shirt underneath, and she's got these boing boing curls going in every direction. And Megan is sewing in different colors, like rainbow colors, across the front of her bib overalls, and she's leaning against a pillar watching me preach at Balboa Park on Good Friday when she is 5 years old. And when her husband came and wanted to take me to dinner at Chart House and asked permission to marry her, as we got out of the car, I said, oh, excuse me, I forgot something. I went back to the car and I got an 8x10 glossy that was framed of her standing at Balboa Park at 5 years old. And I said, I know we're going to be talking about Megan, but here's who I'm talking about. That's who I see. And you might see her as a 29-year-old man, but this is who I see. And I want to make sure you're going to look after her. I think of my daughters, all of them are beautiful. And I've never, ever thought they weren't beautiful, but to see her vivaciousness, and there was a curveball thrown to her because she's into the physical fitness stuff. And they said about the man that was the newscaster, hey, have you seen so-and-so with shirt off? And she immediately caught that and said, well, I'd have to ask his wife. It wasn't a religious saying, but it was her morals. She wasn't going to just flippantly say something. I called her up and I told her I was proud of her. That one statement wasn't religious. She didn't quote a verse from the Bible. It was her personality. I'm not going to be slinky or hinky or dinky or rinky. I'm searching for the word. What is the word? It's wonderful to see him grow before the Lord. In closing, mothers always have a problem. People want them to be better than they are. And mom, you may be comparing yourself to a mother. One mother said, I'd love to be the ideal mother, but I'm just too busy raising my kids. Life becomes easier if you receive your children from God and just trust in him for them. Moms, God will provide for them. He'll help you find that apartment. You just pray for them. It's the greatest gift you have. Just pray for him. Pray for him. Pray for him. My grandmother prayed for me. She wanted to see me change. She saw my problems. She saw my broken heart. She saw that I was not doing well as a junior high student, and I think it's her prayers that helped me go through. And then when I became a minister and led my mom to the Lord, it was her prayers and my wife's prayers, busy people praying. And as one Arab man said to another man, I thought this was cute, he says, just quit murmuring. Just because your family is large, know that it is for their sakes that God feeds you. You have a large family, he's taking care of them. That's the only reason you're being taken care of. The next generation. Well-trained children transmit their mother's virtues to another generation. And well-trained children, in turn, become parents. And they're going to speak to their generation through the children. Your personality, your wisdom, will show up well after you're gone in the lives and the hearts of your children. There was an elementary mom that had three elementary kids, and they were all little ruckus, and she was a single parent. She went to see the principal, and the principal sat down with her and told the problems in the classrooms and the disruptions, and she asked her a question. She said, if you had this to do over completely, would you still have three children? And she said, I absolutely would, but they wouldn't be these three. Ruth Graham became a very dear friend of mine, Billy's wife, and she was always so kind and gracious to me, and I was able to see her before she died. And there were some Hollywood celebrities around her, and then somebody walked over and said, Mike's here, and he wants to pray with you, and I saw her face light up, and it was very kind of the Lord, and she was a feisty lady. And she had five children to raise, and Billy, in the early days of his ministry, went to Africa and was gone 6 months. He'd be gone 3 months at a time. She raised these kids, and Franklin Graham was the tough guy. And he was the rebel in the family, and she just prayed her heart out for Franklin. And it's so wonderful to see him today, what he's doing. And so one day she was on television, and the newscaster said, you know, Franklin's taken over the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I hear that he has four children. And Ruth looked right in the camera and says, yes, he does, and he deserves each one of them. There was a play, and many of you saw the high school play, and I appreciate you. Those are the largest crowds the high school had. It's so blessed, the kids, the students, they're still talking about it. They enjoyed you getting in there and supporting them. He was a little guy, and this wasn't a high school play. This was a Sunday school presentation. And his mother was sitting in the front row, as many of you mothers have done for your little kids. And as he was trying to remember, she would lip sync out the words very softly to him. He forgot them. So then she gestured to him to look at her, and she formed the words silently with her lips. And he looked down at her. He still couldn't get what it was. His little mind had gotten blank. So finally she looks left and right. He's got this important role. He's supposed to make the statement. She leans forward and whispers the cue to him so he'll remember everything. She whispered, I am the light of the And the guy just lit up like a light bulb, and with great gusto coming from inside, a lot of feeling, a loud, clear voice belts out and says, "My mother is the light of the world." And so you are, ladies. We honor you this morning. We honor you. So if you'd like to stand, and I think Sarah's going to come and sing a last song. She's back there with her daughter. You should bring little Sarah up and let her sing with you. Someday she will, huh? Moms, don't be hard on yourselves. And you're probably harder on yourselves than you should be, and you shouldn't be hard at all. Failures, you see the loose ends, you see this could be better, I shouldn't have blown up, I shouldn't have been mad, I should have got up earlier, I should have stayed, all the things. No. You're not ever going to be a perfect mom or a perfect person, but God is. What you need to do as soon as it happens, instead of letting it go on, just, Lord, help me right now. Thank you. And just move on. Don't beat yourselves up. Because there are no perfect kids. None of us are perfect. Though it would be nice to have perfect kids, but you'd look like an oddball. You're all in the normal category, normal range. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's what Jesus said. All the law and the prophets is filled with that. If you're loving your children, that's all God asks. Just give them love, give them love, give them love. And when you're like the lady on her deathbed, and you're just lying there and said, never had a big house, never had a fancy car, I don't have any money, but I have a son and daughter that are good people. Well done, good and faithful servant. God bless you.